Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Heartbreak is contagious, and award-winning singer-songwriter Chris Angelis is here to tell us why. Plus, you've seen them on VH1, you've seen them on CBS, you've even seen them on Fox News, Island Apollo with their rocket-fueled surf vibe and their funky urban grooves. They're here to talk to us today, too. It's Music Friday Live. From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by World Arts, a global platform for musicians and fans in the music industry, and by MySanFelipeVacation.com, your source for a great getaway on the Sea of Cortez if you're in Southern California or Arizona or Mexico or New Mexico. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. These bands are here to talk with you. Call in 347-215-7511, or you can email us. You know, I know an awful lot of you are listening to us on work with your headphones on. So email us. Questions and comments to musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And actually, a couple of people have already mailed in questions for our next guest. Oh, I want to say welcome to our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network, who, and they're syndicating us out to various stations on the East Coast and Florida, who will hear us later tonight. And to our friends at the Artist Echoes Network in London, who will be playing us later tonight, I guess their time in London. So if you're in any one of these places, you're not listening to us live, but you can still send us questions. You can still send questions and comments to our artists, musicfridaylive@gmail.com, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And that goes for everybody who's also listened to us on a podcast, too. You know, you downloaded us on iTunes or wherever. Same thing, and we'll see to it that the questions go to our guests. Well, I can't get enough of Chris Angelis. When I first heard her album, The Left Atrium, I was stunned, which is not easy for a radio host who hears several hundred albums a year. I couldn't get to her next live performance fast enough. Her lyrics, her stories, her musical poetry put her at the top of my playlist and always with repeat after them. She creates worlds inside your head and inside your heart that, while they may be sad or nostalgic or sometimes even painful, are essentially musical virtual reality. You don't just listen to Chris's songs. You live with them. You live with them in the moment, and also you live with them for a long time afterwards. So when I heard that she's about to release a new EP that is also a love story, I couldn't wait for the live performance next week. I had to book her on the show today, and here she is. Chris, welcome back to Music Friday Live.
Thank you so much for having me. That was an amazing introduction.
Well, as Henry Kissinger used to say, it has the added advantage of being true, right?
Thank you.
Chris, there's a continuity to this EP and a concept to it. The continuity is a story, and the concept is how and why heartbreak can be contagious. Before we get mm-hmm. into the story, tell us about the concept. How is heartbreak contagious?
Well, I thought of that in I had been experiencing the phenomenon and having other people see it happen to other of my friends, where if you get your heart broken, you can't really love properly anymore, and sometimes you can't love yourself, and so then you're not really open to new things, and so then that might lead to other people's hearts getting broken. And so it sort of seemed like a cycle, but really heartbreak can be a really growing experience and ultimately can be good. So
Well,
it's not an epidemic. It's not bad.
Okay. let's listen to how you handle that in your lyrics. This is the title song, Heartbreak is Contagious. So many great lines in that song, but the verse that really struck me for its poetry and its insight is, I swear there was a time when you belonged to me, but I'm a two-way heart on a one-way street.
Yeah.
Wow.
How
did you find yourself on one-way street? What is that all about?
I've been in a few situations where I felt like I was doing all the work. I was putting in all the effort for the relationship. And so that's what I mean, is that I need to be on a two-way street in the giving and receiving of love and affection. And I felt like I was not. And actually someone even said that to me, like, hey, this is a two-way street. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm just trying to, you know, go the other direction, man. It was something that was said to me. So it stuck in my mind, and I put it in the song.
And you did it beautifully, too. Now, you wrote that song, and I think all the songs in this EP, with two collaborators, Morgan Taylor Reid and Alexandra Cardinale.
Alexandra Cardinale, yeah.
How do you write such a personal song with two other people?
It was definitely a new and different challenge for me. I had, thus far before I'd worked with them, never really done co-writes, and it was terrifying, but you know, artists have to go to a place where they're terrified, otherwise they're not growing, right? So what I did was I came in actually with ideas that I had, like the Heartbreak Contagious thing was something that I had like rolling in my mind already, and I just brought to them, like, these are the kinds of things that I want to write about, this is the kind of story that I want to tell, so let's do that. And then they just, you know, helped with input and really made the production really awesome and brought the whole vibe. And yeah, that's how we did it.
Did you start with the concept and lines, and then they brought the music in, or
it was sort of evolved? All at once? Like, I mean, I brought in the Heartbreak is Contagious, and I said like what that main concept was. And then with Built This House, I said, you know, I have this idea of that a house is kind of like a relationship, and it's all the pieces, and then it can turn into a prison when it's over. And they just had these sort of general ideas, and they're like, oh, cool, okay. So, and then just like laid down some beats and laid down some chords, and we just started, it was sort of all naturally happening at once.
Okay, all right. There's a great book called The Anatomy of a Song. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's interviews with 45 of the singers and songwriters of some of the most iconic songs of the past 20 years or so. And every awesome. One of them describes a different process for getting to to where you've gotten. And your process is different, too. They should have interviewed you. Anyway, I love the video trailer for that song and with the animation by Dan Ramirez. It seems to capture the virtual reality that you create so well. Did you have a hand in guiding that that animation?
Yes, definitely. I had an idea of what I wanted it to be, and I got in contact with Daniel through a friend on Facebook. Social media is good for something, guys. And and I went talked to him, and I said, "This is the kind of thing I'm looking for. Here is the clips of the songs, and this is the story I want to tell. I want her to, you know, it just like, I basically told him what I wanted to happen, then he's like, okay. And he just so generously was like, okay, here's a little idea. Here's a storyboard. What do you think? It had a little bit more simplicity, which is great. And then he just did it, and it's exactly what I wanted.
And it's wonderful too. People should go check it out on YouTube, on your YouTube channel, because it's really lovely. And of course they get the music too. Well, the next chapter is, in your story is Sorrow, and the song is Built This House. So I'm going to play a little bit of it, and then we can talk about building houses.
This room's a mess. Can't sleep inside this bed. I hear your steps. I swear I can feel your breath. You're everywhere. Your sun through the window. Your fog in the mirror. Walk in. How do I get out? Each breath inside.
The line in that, each brick inside these walls, floorboards that line the halls, the concept of memories of a relationship standing as the walls of a formerly golden house, as you call it, that is now a prison mm-hmm. cell, is really powerful. You've got a hook in there. I built this house for you. I built this house for you. And that really stays with me. It's a good hook. Was there a house? Did you watch roses die, or is it all a metaphor?
Yeah.
Part of your musical? There was, huh?
It is a metaphor also, but there really was a house. And because I had thought this before, like I had this thought, I was like, man, I, you know, built this actual house and this relationship and everything with this person. And then you're living in it with someone else. Like, what the heck? I built it for you and me. Like, and now living in it with someone else. And actually I had planted a bunch of roses outside the house, and he let them die because they made him sad and reminded him of me. And he's not a jerk, don't worry. But you know, that's kind of sad. It's a very symbolic.
Oh, that is pretty powerful. We're talking with Chris Angelis, both about her new EP, which will be officially released June 2nd, right? June 2nd.
June 2nd, yes.
At the Hotel Cafe, that's in Hollywood. For those of you who are in Southern California, you should check it out.
June,
you should be there.
Yeah, June 1st is the show at the Hotel Cafe. June 2nd is when the album comes out on iTunes and online.
Okay, June 1st, Hollywood, in Hollywood at the Hotel Cafe, and everybody should be there. And you're on at what, 8 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay, and for those of you who are in Southern California, it's in Hollywood. It's on Coenga between Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset. So, and the entrance is actually off on a little alley. It's one of those secret, you know, kind of Hollywood places, but everybody in music
mm-hmm.
knows it. Well, we have, I was just going to give out the email address, but people apparently already know it because we're getting a lot of email. So why don't we just go to some of those? Rodolfo in Austin wants to know, I'll let me hold that for a while because that obviously he knows your work. We got an email in from Gramercy in Boston, and Boston apparently was listening very carefully when he heard you say artists need to go to terrifying places. He wants to know, what's a terrifying place and why?
Oh, I just mean that if you are doing something creatively that is outside of your comfort zone, like something you've never done before, something that just, you know, kind of scares you because outside of your comfort zone, that's a good sign because it's making you grow and do new things. And I think that's where great art comes from. I don't mean that you have to actually be terrified, like for your life or anything.
Okay. All right. This person must be a real fan because she knows a little bit about you. This is a Valero or he in Brooklyn who says, you and your sister are scary alike. Does she sing like you, and do you ever sing together?
Yes. He must know about us because of acting, I guess. But
I guess so.
We sing together all the time. Yeah,
okay,
we sing together,
right.
And she sounds, you know, it sounds just like me, pretty much. Genetic harmonies, so they go really well together. She's actually singing with me at the show at Hotel Cafe.
Ooh. Okay. And for those of you who don't know, Chris has a twin sister, right? That's
yep.
apparently what he's talking about here. Let me go through some more of these here. Perry Lynn in Los Angeles says, remind us again of the date and time of your CD release party. Glad you asked. You want to do that?
Yeah. June 1st, 8 p.m. at the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood.
Okay. And Welsh woman in Tampa wants to know if you play anything besides the guitar.
I do. I play ukulele and I play a little bit of piano. I'm going to be playing Build This House, actually, at my acoustic piano version with cello at the Hotel Cafe.
Okay. So that's going to be fun.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
And Christine in Pasadena, who obviously went to your website and read your bio and said something that I didn't know, says your online bio says you want to become a physical therapist. Do you still, and would you stop singing?
Oh, that's funny. Where'd you find that bio? It's so old.
I don't know.
I,
Christine, where'd you find it?
I did want to be a physical therapist at one point. And I got into the USC physical therapy PhD program. And then I was like, you know what? I really just want to be an artist and I want to focus on that. And maybe someday I'll go back to it, but I don't think I'll ever stop making art. So I don't want to stop being a singer.
Maybe Christine was fantasizing having you sing while you manipulate her bones.
You know what? Maybe that would be relaxing and good. You know, I should
start
that as a whole other thing. New thing.
Okay.
Singing physical therapist.
You mentioned the fact that you have done some acting and sometimes with your sister. Do you ever miss it, or is music your sole commitment right now?
Oh, I love acting, and I have gone a little bit less, you know, focused on it. And so I do miss it. I miss being in theater. That was my first love. But I am still auditioning at times. My sister and I actually have an audition for a feature film callback next week. So
yay.
I'm still doing it. So hopefully
yay.
That'll happen.
All right. Good. There's a lot of great theater in LA, and particularly community theater.
Mm-hmm. I love it, but it's like such a huge time commitment for usually no pay. And I have rent and studio time to pay for.
Unfortunately,
I can't do that much.
Yeah, I understand completely. We talked about the Hotel Cafe release party, but for all those people mm-hmm. in cities who cannot attend the release party, tell them how they can pre-order the album, because I know it's not ready yet for order.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. So it's available right now on pre-order. If you go to iTunes and just search for Chris Angelus, Break is Contagious, you'll see it. It's only $4. Or you can also go to bit.ly, so bit.ly/heartbreakEP with a capital H and capital EP. That's a short, quick, direct link to get pre-order, and it's $4, and it really helps with, like, it'll be on the iTunes charts if we get enough, like, right away on that first day. So.
Okay. And I would also encourage people to check out your website, particularly the store on your website, because you have some really nifty T-shirts. In fact, I'm going to get one. I think they're really cool the left atrium on it. Okay. So we've been through heartbreak and we've been through sorrow, and now it's time for a little hope. And the song there is Life Support, and we're going to play just a little bit of it here.
Stronger at all. My heart is beating, I'm still breathing, but I can't feel anymore. So take me off life support, so I can find what I should be living for. Get out of my mind, I know.
You know, when I first listened to that, the piano sets up such a nice scene right at the intro, and the whole song is cinematic. I can almost see you removing an oxygen mask and getting out of a hospital bed as sunshine comes through a window. Where did the idea? Yeah, I mean, where did the idea for that song come from?
Again, my own life experience as I was going through this journey. Where I felt like people kept, you know, I was heartbroken. I was just completely down, completely shut down my emotions. And I just felt like people would ask me like how I was doing. And I would just be like, well, I'm alive. I'm, you know, my heart's beating, I'm breathing, but like, that's not great, you know? And I wanted to really be living and enjoying life and get out of the funk and really find what my purpose was, and that, you know, gives you a reason for living. So that's where that came from.
Okay.
And it's called life support because it's, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, that's what I want to
know. Because I think some people maybe, consider that like, oh, I want to die. And I don't mean that. I mean the life support as in like the machines that keep your heart beating and you're breathing when you're not really alive. And I mean like I want to not be that way anymore. I actually want to completely wake up, you know, come out of the quote unquote coma or whatever, like metaphorically, and go out into the world.
And we're glad you did. the way you build the song, you start off with the simple piano notes, and then you add your voice in with a really soft intimacy. And then it starts rising in urgency with this distant percussion. And then you bring the strings in for a climax, and then slide it down to just you again. Did you arrange that? That's really nicely done.
You know what? That's the one song that was not a collaboration with Alexander and Morgan. And I actually wrote that song by myself. And then Bill Leffler, he's an awesome producer in LA, did the arrangement. And I was definitely there for, you know, there with helping and saying like, this is the kind of feeling I want and whatever. But that was mostly him being awesome. Bill Leffler.
Well, he definitely did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
It just holds you all the way through, and it spotlights
exactly
your
what
voice.
I wanted,
Thank absolutely. I tell him I said he's great. You've been singing since you were a child. You and your sister, and then a friend taught you guitar. And you've talked about some unusual instruments on albums. I think there was tuned wine glasses on one and teaspoons.
Uh-huh.
Do you play any of those instruments, or do you play the piano at all? Or just
I play a little bit of piano. Wait, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
In the recording?
Well, not in the recording, just in general. I can tell it wasn't in the recording.
Do I play? Are you asking me if I play piano? I do a little bit.
Yeah.
I wish I had a piano. That'd be great. I started playing a violin when I was little. That was the first instrument that I played, and I was in a youth choir. So that's how I got into more knowing about chords and all that stuff.
And then you moved on to complex things like the ukulele. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to move to the last chapter now, and that's joy, or just having fun, which is the next song. So why don't we play that? And then I've got a question for you on that. This
Perfect.
Is Kevin Bacon.
Thank you.
I have to confess, that's my favorite song on the album, on the EP. and I love it that you can be a very powerful singer-songwriter, and then you could just skip down the road like a pop singer telling us that you just can't stop laughing like a fool. You must have been really happy when you wrote that.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I actually wasn't quite out of my my sad place yet, but that was a song where I was like, I know that this is how I could feel. This is how I have felt before, and I wanted to sort of make a manifestation of that, and it actually helped me feel that way.
All right, yeah. It makes the rest of us happy too. You know, we could get up and skip down the road ourselves. It's a great image. I mean, and like I say,
thank you. That's exactly the image I wanted it to have.
Well, you succeeded.
Skipping down the road.
I think that the song Kevin Bacon not only puts a great period on your story, but it adds a spark to the EP that really makes it unique. You ask the eternal question: can we stay young forever? We can't, but that doesn't mean we can't, you know, have lipstick everywhere or in this chapter. So, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
We unfortunately have to end our chapter. All right, Chris, this is a marvelous creation. It's a wonderful quartet of songs, and I think it's an important forward in your career. So I want to thank you very much for sharing it with us today and for taking the time, because I know you're busy, to spend with us today.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time to interview me. This has always been really fun.
Well, Chris Angelis, the new EP is Heartbreak is Contagious. It's due for release next Friday at the Hotel Cafe, next Saturday at the Hotel Cafe, which is a Friday or Saturday?
Thursday.
Sorry. It's Thursday.
Hotel Cafe is Thursday. The EP release is Friday.
Okay. Thursday at the Hotel Cafe. The EP release is Friday. You should be at the Hotel Cafe if you're in Southern California for the release party. Get a copy there, autographed. You'll autograph them, right? Okay.
Sure.
If you're not local, if you're not in Southern California, pre-order your copy. You can go to iTunes. I usually go to chrisangelis.banzoogle.com. Is that not a good idea?
Oh, chrisangelis.com will take you there, and that's a good idea because then you can watch the video with the animation and see the stories behind it, and then scroll down and you'll see the cover of the EP, and you can click there to pre-order it for $4.
Right. And
like
you can also get one of those. You can also get one of those great T-shirts. And then follow her on all the usual social media platforms and stream her on Spotify. And remember, get one of those albums. Thank you again,
yeah.
Chris. This has been wonderful.
Just one more time. If you go to that website, you can sign my mailing list, which is cool because then you'll get into a pre-screening of the Kevin Bacon music video I'm working on. So make sure you do that when you go there.
Ooh, I'm going to do that right after the show. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Thank you.
Well, before we introduce our next guest, I want to remind all the musicians and fans out there that Music Friday Live is a partner with the World Arts Organization. And in fact, I'm going to let them tell you about the World Arts Organization.
World Arts brings the entire music world together on one global stage. We give artists the tools to sell and license their music, interact with industry pros, and play live to a whole new audience. Wherever they are on their journey, we want artists to get paid for what they create. At World Arts, fans can discover new songs, get exclusive rewards, and crowdfund projects for artists. Grants can offer opportunities for artists to create original content that fans can instantly vote on and share. World Arts is the global music platform where we can all rise above the noise. Take your career to the next level. Discover new artists. At World Arts, it's all about the music.
And, of course, we're all about the music here at Music Friday Live. And as a result, we are members of the World Arts platform. So sign up, www.worldarts.com. It's free. We're there, and you should be too. And we're back at Music Friday Live. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan. And, of course, we always love to hear from you. You can call us, 347-215-7511. Or you can email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Now, before I chat with our next guest, I'm going to do something surprising, or maybe not. We're going to take a short trip to Mexico.
Just 2 hours south of the California border lies the enchanting seaside town of San Felipe, Baja California, where friendly people, warm waters, and a relaxing vacation awaits. And it all starts at www.mysanfelipevacation.com. Whether you choose to golf on the 18-hole championship course overlooking the Sea of Cortez with friends, enjoy a romantic weekend for two on the beach, or take the whole family for a fun-filled weekend of shopping and activities, you'll be sure to find just the right accommodations at mysanfelipevacation.com. So what are you waiting for? Isn't it time you got away? Visit www.mysanfelipevacation.com today. That's www.mysanfelipevacation.com. See you in San Felipe.
And I'll see you in San Felipe. And if you're in Southern California or Arizona, like he says, there's a fabulous vacation waiting for you, and it's only a four-hour drive. So you should be down there on the Sea of Cortez. You can play golf. You can swim. You can take the family clamming or fishing. You can tour art galleries. Some of Mexico's best seafood is in San Felipe. The chefs come down there. There's a big chef party once a year, and all the chefs from Mexico come down and take the seafood right out of the sea there. You can even fly an ultralight, and you can do all this while you stay in a luxury condo or a budget studio apartment, or you can even get yourself a private sandcastle out in the dunes. Woo! A key to this paradise, as he says, is mysanfelipevacation.com. And if when you go to mysanfelipevacation.com, you put in the discount code MFLA5, you're going to get a 5% discount. So remember, mysanfelipevacation.com, MFLA5, great vacation. Well, when you listen to Island Apollo, you kind of have to put aside your preconceived ideas about indie rock because they're out of the box. They create hooks in the melodies and in the verses, and then they slide between different approaches, but they always keep their signature sound. You've probably heard their music on VH1, on Fox Sports. You've heard them on ads for Sprint, Sobe Drinks, even the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, if you happen to watch those commercials. Of course, you wouldn't. But if you've not heard their music, when you do, you will say to yourself, who are these guys, and how did they get to be so good so fast? And then you hit replay. A Southern California band through and through, they avoid the cliches of surf pop sounds while they invoke the ethos of the endless summer. And being a Southern California boy myself, they connected to me instantly. But no matter where you live, they'll connect with you and they'll make you feel like you're California dreaming. Today, band vocalist Ryan Kilpatrick is with us. Hi, Ryan. Welcome.
Hey, Patrick. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I know you are too because I listen to your music.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Right. Well, some might call it depressing. Actually, we've been getting a lot of reviews, and it's a little it's on the darker side. But yeah, I like that. I think I was a big Death Cab fan for a while on the Shins. So,
you know, so was I. Very much.
Yeah,
so.
They're great.
Yeah. Huh? Okay. Well, you know, I was going to say for a young band, you guys have been moving pretty fast. You're getting your music on multiple TV shows. You've been winning awards. How long have you been together?
So I actually knew the Farmer Brothers. We have three brothers in our band. I knew them since, I think, kindergarten. No joke. And we took our first guitar lessons in like fourth grade together, all in a room, same guy. And yeah, I mean, he started our band with his brothers in like, well, I had a band with Heath even in seventh grade. And
oh
then
my God.
We started another one in sophomore year, junior year of high school, I think. So we were together for close to a decade. This iteration, though, Island Apollo has been together for, I think, maybe 4 years.
Okay. Well, like I say, you've been moving pretty fast for 4 years because you developed a very recognizable sound. I would know it anywhere just from the first two or three chords of your songs. Now, I know what I think your sound is, but I'm interested to hear how you describe your sound.
I would describe it. It's tough. I wouldn't use genre names really to say it because I think what inevitably if I say like alt, what I am thinking of would be different probably than what you are thinking of, which would be different than a lot of other people.
That's why it's alt.
So, right. And it's kind of a cop-out when I say that too. But I guess I would describe it as a heavier drum backbeat with a kind of like alternative pop melody on the top with sort of indie rock skin.
Okay. All right. That's one way. I respond to the guitar. You have a particular guitar sound, or your guitar player has a particular guitar sound. But before we get into the weeds on that one, why don't we let our audience in on what we're talking about here? Here's some Hold It Down. Introductory chords in that really grab you, and then they set the song up very nicely for your vocals. The percussion, kind of a distant, sharp clap. Is that a drum kit or is that a drum machine?
So Maddie is very, innovative. He uses an SPDS, it's a drum machine that he triggers live, and then he also plays the drum kit. So if you see him play live, it's actually... We get so many people that are drummers that come up and are just enthralled with Matt because it's really cool how he does it. He mixes them in very seamlessly. Usually it's to like add, yeah, like a clap, or if he wants to add like low end without it punching through too much, he uses the kick drum on the SPDS.
Well, it works very nicely. It creates exactly the right scaffolding for your voice. Now, the inspiration for that, I mean, was that an inspired sound, or did you guys have to work on it and work on it and work on it until you got it just right?
I think, yes and no, because we've been together for 10 years and we've tried a lot of different skins on. We tried a lot of different sounds. I think this one is just kind of, to be honest, what we most naturally do in a room, just live. So it's just the way everyone sounds. Like a big part of that sound, I think, is Heath's guitar. Like you were saying, Heath's been working on that guitar tone for I don't know, 15 years. And a big part of that sound is just, you know, the confluence of all the changes he's made in his pedal loops and everything. And then you also have our really well-defined rhythm section that's been together for 10 years. and they play together in a certain way. And then I bring my own influences, and Austin does, to the top line on the keys and the vocals, and it just kind of naturally happens like that.
So you play keyboards as well as sing?
I do, but most of the main, like for that song, the main riff is on a keyboard and a guitar. Austin plays that. Austin's our keyboard player.
Okay.
I play primarily like background padding kind of stuff. But yeah, that song was actually written. It started with that riff at the top, the boom, ba-do-dum, boom, boom. And Austin brought that in on a keyboard. And he'll do that actually, like a few of the songs we wrote in the last year, Austin wrote a guitar line on a keyboard. And to me, it was always cool because he does things on a keyboard that you just wouldn't do on a guitar because your fingers just naturally fall in a different place when you're in the first position on a guitar. And so we transposed that to the guitar, and it sounded kind of cool. And yeah, I mean, we've done that on a few times now.
Yeah. Like you said, you've been together for 10 years, so there's probably kind of a routine and you know each other. But I just wonder, who writes what? Do you write the vocals and other people write their parts, or how's that work?
It's different every time. It's pretty different every time. But I think for the most part, like for this record, it was more collaborative than it's been in the past, I think. But even now, I mean, each one is pretty different. Like that song, for instance, started with Austin bringing a riff, and then we write everything together in the room. And we're just jamming, and I'm trying out vocals. And I write all the lyrics usually, and people usually write their parts. Like, I don't think I've ever written a part for Maddie on the drums. I'll give, like, suggestions maybe to, like, Adam on bass, but I usually stay out of everyone's space. And I think, you know, I love bands. I love how bands sound that write their own material, because it becomes musicians writing the material and playing off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get to hear that much today. A lot of the stuff seems to be in the hands of producers that are kind of orchestrating the track in a very logical way. And sometimes it's nice to have people that are meshing up against each other in a way that you maybe would not have planned out, because it rubs up where they're taking up each other's space. But it sounds like a band to me when I hear that.
And it does to me too, and it works really well, right?
Thank you.
Now, you recorded this EP in Seattle. Given that Los Angeles is the music capital of the nation and stuffed with many, many Emmy-winning producers or Grammy-winning producers, what led you to Seattle?
We were following a producer out there. We met a producer, Eric Lillebois, from our publicist, actually. And we were talking about maybe flying him out here and renting a studio, but he has a really good studio that he's like a co-owner of. And so the price difference for the flight and renting instruments, it actually came out to be cheaper going out there. And, you know, it's nice to work with someone that understands what room he's in. He knows, like, what the drums sound like in which corner of the room.
Yeah.
So that's why we decided to go out there. And, you know, it really helped with the creative mindset, too, because we were all had to live together for, you know, over a week, and we were only thinking about the record. We didn't have to go back to our homes. You know, we were only thinking about the music. And I think that, you know, it helps to really get inside the thing.
And you survive the week too.
yeah.
Some bands don't. The song premiered on Spotify and is a must listen pick on Spotify. How has that helped you?
It's helped a lot. I mean, we've only had it on Spotify for about, I feel like it's been under 2 weeks, and we've gotten a good amount of plays. We got on I believe the name of the playlist was Ones to Watch, or
mm-hmm. Ones to Watch.
Shoot,
yeah.
Don't quote me. Well, that was a blog that we premiered on, but we actually got on a top rock playlist on Spotify, and the cool thing is when they curate the songs like that, they get a bunch of subscribers. And so we had a bunch of people that were listening to it that hadn't heard of us before. And I think it's close to 10,000 plays already. It's been like under 2 weeks. So that's faster than it's been in the past for an unknown band.
Yeah.
And I think that's just part of the strategy now today is you got to get on these tastemaker blogs and curated playlists and curated shows, because there's so much material out there, man. You just got to cut
through. Tell me about it. Their PR agents all are in touch with me, and you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
The Now, given that the band members are spread out over a 300-mile area, how do you practice or work together? Is it all remote, or do you sort of meet in San Juan Capistrano or something?
Yeah, we've talked about doing it remote because we've seen some funny videos of, like, there's a movie where they do that. But no, we meet in person. We rent a space sometimes in L.A. or down closer to San Diego. We also have a house that the Farmer Brothers grew up in Lake Forest, so we meet down there a lot. And we have our own system. We have, like, a PA and everything we need to really practice without a rehearsal space. But it's different because, yeah, you're right, it's tough to do when we're probably 100 miles in between each of us. So we just got to make it count when we get together. And the good part is nowadays we all have Logic and we can record and send each other parts. So when we were writing this album, actually, like for Dig, a song coming out in a couple months, we never even met to write that song. I had written a lot of it. And then I sent it to Maddie, who put his drums in, and then he sent it to Adam, who put his bass in. And Heath and Austin kind of just, when we got together before recording the actual thing, figured out what they were doing, and it's pretty amazing you can do that nowadays.
Yeah, and for our audience, you might real quickly tell them what Logic is and how you use it.
Oh yeah, it's a recording software. It's the one that Apple sells, so it's very easy to use. It's the cheapest one, is why we all have it. and yeah, it just allows you to kind of figure out sounds and record the thing and listen back to it without having to go into a major studio. And you can get some pretty good recordings now. You actually can get some stuff that sounds pretty good if you have good microphones, yeah, which we do. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. And it's helped actually when we go into studio now to have a little bit of experience in terms of, you know, sculpting tones, which we've done on Logic. We just can be a little more articulate to the producer and the engineer in terms of what we want done to our own tracks in the professional setting. Yeah, I highly recommend that to people. I think that was the biggest breakthrough for us, was being able to record our own music before going in to spend, you know, an ungodly amount of money to actually record it.
Right. yes, okay, an ungodly amount of money. I believe me, I've heard that many times from people saying that they are waiting to save up enough money in order to record the next album. Let me remind our listeners that we're talking with Ryan Kilpatrick of the band Island Apollo about their new album and about other things, about the cost of studios and recording software and all sorts of stuff. And you can talk with them too, 347-215-7511. Many of you are already sending emails, so why don't we get to the emails here. Sally Firth in San Diego wants to know, have you guys played at the Casbah in San Diego, or was it at the House of Blues?
I don't know that we've played either of those, actually, in San Diego. We've done the House of Blues in Anaheim. We actually are looking at a show in San Diego for the House of Blues. A lot of our members play around town in San Diego. They're from San Diego. So maybe she saw one of them playing down there, it could be, but we haven't played at the Casbah yet. No.
Okay. All right. Well, Sally, follow them on social media so you'll know if they ever do show up at the Casbah or the House of Blues in San Diego.
Yeah.
Munster.
Like.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I was just going to say it's looking like we will be playing down there possibly in the next couple months. So if you guys follow us online, Facebook. I think it's facebook.com/IslandApollo. Yeah, we'll be posting all the shows coming through. I can't really announce any yet because we're negotiating them, but we have like three in the works around Anaheim and San Diego.
Okay. We have a lot of email here that, like from Alta Music in Anaheim, who wants to know, where did the name come from?
Yeah, I didn't come up with this name. Heath did, our guitarist. The three brothers in the band went to Cal State Long Beach, I think. And I guess there's these oil rigs out there, and they are disguised as islands so that the people,
yep,
that live on the coast won't have this eyesore out there of oil rigs. And they have, like, palm trees on them, and it looks like little, you know, Pacific islands. And they're named after Apollo astronauts. So for some reason, Heath threw out probably like 500 names, and a lot of them were good, but we just kept shooting them down. And he was really leading the charge and generating ideas. And it was amazing. Some of the ideas were just so bad, and some of them were really good. And I actually liked a lot of his ideas more than he did. And Island Apollo was just the first one that we all liked. And I think Adam had a moment of insecurity about it, but then he said, no, I love it. This is within like 5 seconds. And hey, it's just one that
worked.
We agreed on at the end. Yeah,
it works. And I know the Allens you're talking about. Well, let's play some more music. I want to play Lion Eyes here.
Sure.
In there, just an animal. That's a great hook. Was that inspired at the San Diego Zoo, or does it have more prosaic?
No. This was actually our first song. So, like I said, we've been together for a decade, and for 6 years we were writing a very different kind of music, or a lot of different genres. You know, within that 6 years, we had shifted a lot too. But this song was just a lot different than the rest of the stuff that we had done. And it was kind of the impetus to start a new band, at least the new iteration of the band. And that song was, you know, it started with that chorus, and it was sort of about talking about the agony of feeling like you can't be who you really are.
Okay. All right. I can see that. When you said it, it's a little different. It is the drumming in that. I would call that kind of alt rock drumming. It's no surf in
Definitely.
There. There's no funk. It's just pure high energy alt rock. But I bet it's a lot of fun to play, and I bet your audiences love it.
Yeah. It's usually our closer. Yeah. I wanted to push it to open with it because we have so many songs now that I think can be really high energy closers. But it's a good problem to have when you're having trouble curating your own set list.
Because it's so good. All right.
Well, so many we love.
Speaking of funky grooves, you do have funky groove in Miracle, so let's listen to that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
That is what I call some really nice, complex funk bass line rhythms. And I'll bet that
Thank you.
Song, that should be your opening song. Gets everybody up and dancing. It's one of my favorite ones.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I like that one too. We actually had our drummer's dad play the trumpets on that song.
Oh, you're right. I hadn't noticed that. I hadn't noticed that there are not horns in some of the other songs, are there?
Some of them there are. Not for the newer stuff, we hired a horn player, but for the first EP, we had actually Spencer Ludwig from Capital Cities.
Uh-huh.
He did the song you just played before Miracle, Lion Eyes. He played the horns on there. But for Miracle, we were doing it on the fly, and Matt's dad is just a really good multi-musician, multi-instrumentalist, but he played horns on that one, and it was really funny. He's a great guy.
We've got some more email in here. Valero in Maine wants to know, do you ever add rap or hip-hop beats to your tunes? I think it would be cool.
We had actually been approached by someone that wanted to do a rap kind of, what's the word, like a remix. Didn't mm-hmm. happen. But I think Matty is very hip-hop influenced. He kind of runs in a lot of circles with hip-hop players and plays with a lot of, and produces a lot of hip-hop acts. So, like, Hold It Down, I think, kind of has a hip-hop vibe in the electronic drum set on the verses and stuff. I think some of the newer stuff coming out, Beggars maybe, is pretty hip-hop influenced. But not on my side, no. I'm not a big rap fan, although I love certain rappers.
It's an acquired skill for a vocalist. We've got time for just one more quick question, and this is Steve BLT in Seattle, and he wants to know, where did you record in Seattle, and do you ever play in Seattle?
Oh, man, you got me. I don't remember the name of the studio. Shoot. but it's just north of the pike, you know, where the wharf, kind of the touristy area. We recorded like 10 minutes north of there in this little suburban neighborhood that was like buried in trees. It was amazing. It actually made me want to move back to Seattle. And I told my fiance then, she's like, yeah, we're never going to Seattle. So just like, go that. But yeah, I wish I could remember the name. It was with Eric Lillibois up there.
Okay.
If you guys find any musicians out there looking for a great producer, he's the best there is.
Well, even though we've got lots of other things we could talk about here, and we've got other people who've sent in emails, the clock is telling us that we've been having too much fun and we need to stop. So thank you
right,
so
man.
Much for coming on with me today and having fun with me today. This has been a real joy.
Thank you for having me. And, yeah, you can find us on Facebook.com/IslandApollo, on Spotify, too. It really helps to get those follows and the numbers up on Spotify, and we'll be announcing some shows in the next few weeks if you live in the Southern California area.
Okay. And where would you direct people to who want to actually buy your songs?
It's on iTunes. Should be on iTunes very shortly. If you have Spotify, it's up there. But yeah, it should be going on to iTunes within the week.
Okay. All right. Ryan Kilpatrick of the band Island Apollo. Follow them in all the various places that he has mentioned. Get their songs if you want to download them yourself on iTunes. Stream them on Spotify. They're all over social media. And keep track of them because they're now negotiating for some live appearances, and they're going to have them up where you can find out if you can go see them live, and which is a lot of fun. Believe me, if you have an opportunity, do it. Well, you've been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan from the CyberStation USA Network, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feed, and get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Our intern is Angeline Serrano, who's no longer an intern because she's got her own radio show now, but she still helps out. Download this and other Music Friday programs at blogtalkradio.com, Music Friday. Be here next Friday. We're going to have more emerging talent and wonderful guests. Check out our Twitter stream and our Facebook page. We'll update you on the guests. We're having conversations with some really interesting people. But that's it for now. Have a great musical weekend, and I'm going to leave you with a little bit more of Miracle.
is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.